when I got involved with Think Twice the second time, and now, it was because of this product. it spoke directly to me.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and this is Raven Conversations. Today, I'm joined by a good friend, known him a very long time, Major Sean Neal. He is the operations officer for the 56th TIOG, but he also is part of a business. It's a both for-profit, but we're going to talk strictly the nonprofit part of it, called Think Twice. And he's going to explain what his company does, his nonprofit does, and how it helps people who potentially could be drugged or too drunk to drive or stuff like that. So thanks for joining us, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on and known you a very long time. Gosh, probably since you were like a second lieutenant even. So
it's 11 years now. Yeah, we've known each other a while.
Yeah. So intro and background on yourself.
Yeah, thank you. And this is my first podcast, so thanks for breaking me in.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Lakewood, Washington, just right outside the gate here. And, you know, I never really wanted to join the military, except for when I was a little kid. Everyone wants to play with guns and stuff. But when I was in college, I paid my way at Washington State University, go Cougs, and I ran out of money. And so I knew a guy that was in Air Force ROTC, and he said he got everything paid for. So I was like, oh, cool, let me try that. So I went to the building that I saw people in uniform and found the first guy in a uniform. And I was like, hey, you know where the Air Force office is? And he was like, nope. But what do you need? And he ended up being Sergeant First Class Anderson at the time.
Todd Anderson?
Yep. He was my recruiter, and he was the recruiter for Washington State University. And he was like, we can get school paid for. We can get everything paid for. We continue the training. You can be done within the summer. And I was like, yeah, I'm sold. That's what I need. And in the process, I learned that the military was more than what I expected in a very positive way. And I was really interested in pursuing it further. Initially, I just wanted to be an enlisted 88 Mike. But I started doing ROTC at Washington State University. And I was like, oh, I think I like this. So I commissioned as an infantry officer into the Washington Army National Guard, went to BCO, one of the 161, stayed in one of the 161 all the way through until I was finished with command with ACO, one of the 161, in which I had a change of career, if you will, and a growing interest in information operations. So I asked my commander at the time, Colonel Cooper, like, hey, what do you think about this? Is it okay if I go try this out? And he was very supportive. So I worked my way over there. I went to information operation qualification course. And what I was really interested in there, because when you leave the company level in the infantry, you're on staff, and that's cool. You know, you're planning everything. But I really wanted to continue to do things. And in information operations, that's what I found. Because you're conducting operations, you're planning operations, not on the ground, more in the cognitive dimension, which is a very interconnected web, dark area of the battlefield, if you will. But
all the things.
Yeah. It's super fascinating, right? And kind of like mind control, but not. So yeah, that's where it led me. Since being there, I went to the qualification course, and then I went to a number of exercises around the world. The 56th TIOG does quite a bit of those, and probably the most deployed unit in the state, I would say. Small numbers, but the most frequent. And then I had the opportunity to finally get on my first deployment to Operation Inherent Resolve with my team, 1567 in 156. Initially, I went to Iraq to be an IO advisor to the counterterrorism service psychological operations lead for the whole country, which was a very rewarding experience. That guy, he's an amazing guy, and he's been in it every single day of his life. So I learned a lot from him, even though I was supposed to be teaching and advising him, and we worked a lot together. So I did that for 6 months before I moved to CISA JITF with the rest of my team, where I was a future operations planner doing stuff there. And it was a good time. It was a really good experience.
Now, did you get to do the resident phase the entire time in Kansas, or did you do the 24 weeks like I did and then the 2 weeks in Vermont?
Ooh, that sounded very painful. So I did the resident phase. I fought really hard to get it. I probably skipped over some people in the group's OML without knowing it, but I was like, yeah, just put me on the list. I'm ready to go right now. And then I did. Thankfully, I learned a lot there, a lot, not just about information operations, but about how the military functions on a joint and a strategic level. And when you zoom back and up above the battle, like, you can see things from a very different perspective, and you really respect what you do at the tactical level and how the second and third order effects have to do the ripple effect into the strategic realm. So it was pretty, it was fun. It's rewarding. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. And so, and now you're back off deployment. You're working at the TIOG full time. But you're also part of Think Twice. It's a nonprofit and a for-profit business. So my first question, what is Think Twice?
Yeah, so Think Twice is a public safety company that focuses on educating and bringing awareness to people so that we can reduce harm and injuries and help people literally think twice before they make decisions when they're impaired or they're around impaired people. So it started in 2016 with my friend Justin Thompson. He founded it. For everybody that's involved, it's a part-time thing and it's a passion project because we're connected to some mission or line of effort within the company that speaks to us directly. For him, he was in a pretty tragic car accident when he was 16. He's okay. You know, he escaped permanent injury, but a lot of people don't, you know. And so that's what motivated him to really start the company and to get out there and try to make a difference. And the way he did that was through initially the flagship product, our disposable breathalyzers. And I brought one today. So these are disposable breathalyzers, you single use. It only goes up to 0.08, but you just blow into the glass tube and there's little crystals that change color based on your BAC. So we always say test to zero because it's subjective, mm-hmm. You know, police will pull you over and it doesn't really matter so much if you have 0.08 or 0.05. If you're impaired, you're going to get in trouble for it. You're going to get DUI or worse. So that's how he got started, going to bars and drinking establishments and selling it to the bars so that they could hand it out to customers if they didn't seem like they're okay to drive. And I was a little bit involved with it back then with him. Ultimately, I couldn't continue to do it because I stayed pretty busy with the military. But I got re-engaged with it with him just this past summer in May and June, actually when I got back from the deployment, because he started selling this new product. It was a drink drug test kit or drink spiking test kit. And what it is you take a little drop from your drink and you put it on like these little tabs here, and they change color if you've been drugged or spiked. So this is a coaster that we sell on our website, and we sell it to bars and drink establishments. But we also have little test strips that we can sell to individuals in 2 and 5 packs. And it really just helps people know how to be safe. And so when I got involved with Think Twice the second time, and now, it was because of this product. It spoke directly to me because I have a close and personal friend that found herself, you know, when she was at AIT, she went to a party with people that she knew and she had a drink. It was drugged and she was sexually assaulted. And I know way too many stories like that from people that I'm close to or people even that I'm not close to, these things that really shouldn't happen in our organization. Shouldn't happen anywhere. But you're always left with that question, like, that sucks. It shouldn't happen. What can you do? You know, unless you're there to intervene, mm-hmm. really can't do much. Until this kind of presented itself in my life with Think Twice. And now I have like an avenue to kind of help with the prevention of that. And, you know, it seems like a no-brainer because it kind of is like, yeah, of course, everyone's going to want this. They just don't know about it. So kind of my job is to get it out there, get it into the military, get it onto a public stage. So thank you for letting me introduce it here on the podcast. But yeah, that's what I do with it. And that's really what got me motivated to get into Think Twice.
Yeah. So for the nonprofit piece, what are you guys doing to help kind of get obviously the breathalyzer and the drink test to the military audience?
So recently what we've done is a pilot with the 117th Infantry Battalion on JBLM. We've provided them about 1,000 products over the course of 3 months, and we've done frequent visits. I think we did 3 of them, and we conducted surveys with the soldiers that did the test. You know, here's our product. How did you use it? Did it work? You know, things like that. And ultimately what it resulted in is the 117th Command adopting it as a command policy that these are going to be inspectable items on their soldiers when they go out on the weekend and, you know, they want to have a good time. Make sure you have this with you because it's already shown to work. In the last conversation with the unit that we had, one of the first sergeants said 5 times he's been called based on this. And in his career, that's 5 times more than he ever has been. So he was able to go pick his soldiers up and prevent them from getting behind the wheel of a vehicle and making a bad decision potentially. Because there's a lot of DUIs, there's a lot of accidents, especially in the military. There's no question that there's a relationship with the military and alcohol, right? There's no mystery to it. So what we're just trying to do is make better decisions when it comes to that. So that's what we've done so far with the military. As far as the nonprofit goes, we were able to get those out to a bunch of soldiers. And hopefully with this battalion adopting it as a part of their command policy, it'll grow from there. You know, their command will see a difference in their statistical numbers for SHARP and for DUI that they keep track of, and it'll grow throughout the DOD. That's the goal, at least.
Yeah. Have you guys kind of expanded that past the military at all?
Yeah. So the military avenue is kind of a new thing for Think Twice, and that's why I jumped in, as Justin called me and he said, hey, I'm getting these military orders out of nowhere and I don't know much about the military. Can you help? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Especially after he told me about the test strips. Mm-hmm. But he's been hustling so hard. Like, this guy is an animal. He's been doing it since 2016. We're in Cheney Stadium. You know, we go out to a lot of events and we put our products out there with like Walk Like Mad. So we're partnered with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. We're partnered with a number of sheriff's offices throughout the state and also throughout the country. We're also in a couple other countries, and we're looking to expand.
Yeah. Do you think there's almost a tie between, the younger soldiers using the product, knowing like, hey, this could potentially ruin my career if I get a DUI?
Yes. So it is hard to bring that reality to the forefront of people's minds when they're making decisions, especially when they're already impaired, right? So if we can have this discussion and we can bring education and awareness to young soldiers before they make those decisions, they're like, oh yeah, a DUI costs about $10,000 for your first one. I don't have that kind of money. So this, I have it in my pocket. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, but to get into that OODA loop and the decision-making cycle of anybody, especially in an impaired environment, is difficult. So that's why it's important to make this as pervasive as possible and widespread. So it's second nature. Like, if you have a drink, you know you have this, and you will think twice before you do it. really, it should be called Think First.
Fantastic. Sean, I appreciate all the info. Anything else you want to put out there?
No, I think I love what you're doing here. I love the podcast. So I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, thanks.
Sean, appreciate it. Hey, if you're interested in Think Twice, we can definitely put Sean's information in the notes. I know he can help you out, especially on the military side. I think he would gladly help anyone out to make sure he's protecting his military brothers and sisters, as I've known you to always do. If you like the podcast, give it a like. If you have any questions, throw it in the comments. We'll definitely pass that along. And subscribe for future videos. Sean, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.